It's a beautiful day, so we're inside talking about fantasy sports.
Hell yeah. Right? Beautiful day. Craig is here.
Craig made it.
Beautiful day to be outside for a walk, but yet we're in here talking about fantasy football.
Remember last week when we said that, like, degenerates are the only ones who care this much this time of year? Like, I think we're proving our point.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Episode 26.
Nice.
We made it. We made it pretty far. We've got some fun stuff lined up today. We're going to talk about some very late sleeper prospects. We're going to bring back our popcorn quad bit. Before we get too far ahead, though, I want to just say, like, Ryan and I lost a friend of ours a couple weeks ago. So rest in peace, Kevin. We love you. And so, you know, I'm on my way to the ceremony yesterday, and I found out about Dwayne Haskins. And I found out from the Adam Schefter tweet that says, Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State before struggling to catch on with Washington and Pittsburgh in the NFL, died this morning when he got hit by a car in South Florida, per his agent, Cedric Saunders. Haskins would have turned 25 years old on May 3rd. Fuck you, Adam Schefter. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we talked about this in our pre-show call. You know, I don't want to hear about the things that he was successful or unsuccessful about. He's 24 and he died.
If you're a person that's trying to break the news, you should not put your opinions. You should just state the facts before anyone even knows the story.
Break the news.
Yeah.
Break the fucking news.
It should be heartfelt. It should be facts. Let's say what happened before saying that he was struggling just because he was a backup and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was standout at Ohio State. But, you know, let's get the facts before we start putting out just getting clickbait for our own court. Right. You know,
if I die tomorrow and someone said, Tony Martin, once divorced, couldn't hold down a teaching job for more than a few years, died yesterday, I would expect everyone that cared about me to be like, fuck you.
Fuck you, yeah.
Right, so big fuck you to Adam Schefter. An even bigger fuck you to Gil Brandt, who said that he was a guy living to be dead. Said it was always something with Haskins, and maybe if he stayed in school an extra year, he wouldn't do silly things like jogging on a highway, which is so disrespectful.
I mean, that was the worst because, number one, I heard that he wasn't jogging. He had some car trouble on the way to whatever the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks are doing in Florida, some type of training. He had some car trouble on the interstate, and he was trying to get help. He was either walking to a gas station or something. He was not jogging on, like, Interstate 90.
Right.
Because he's an idiot. That's right. Not what happened.
Right. And furthermore, if I could take it one step further into something that I care a lot about, I wish that we did a better job in our society of having non-car options for people.
Yeah.
Because most of our state of Illinois, outside of the big cities, don't have bike lanes. They don't have walking paths. And these are the kind of things that happen in a world that is built around automotive vehicles. And, you should be allowed to be safe walking anywhere or biking anywhere, period.
Outside of any major city, there's no bike lanes.
Right. I mean, right. So
I mean, there's a big enough, I feel like there's a big enough shoulder on most major interstates, but still at the same time, you know, let's widen it up.
Please. And hopefully as a society rely on automobiles less in the future. But regardless of that personal, you know, thing, rest in peace, Dwayne Haskins. And so we'll move on to something a little more lighthearted. So back in the day, we used to do this thing. We have a friend named Brad, and we decided a few years ago that we were going to call him the Ruiner because he ruins everything. And he doesn't ruin anything. He's a wonderful man, great guy, family guy. But we always call him the Ruiner. So whenever anything goes bad, it's like, of course, because Brad's the Ruiner. So I think I figured out who the Ruiner is for fantasy football.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon, like Javon, everyone's like, this is the week. Javonte Williams, this is the week. This is the week. And it never was.
There's always speculation, including this, mostly this offseason, where he's going to go, because Denver at one point has to pick, look, you're either going to start Javonte or you're going to start Melvin. We can't have both of them. Like, right. Javonte's got the talent to just run and be that lead back.
Right.
Get some money, get some draft picks, get rid of Gordon. I mean.
Well, he's a free agent now, and so he just visited with Baltimore, which is great because I love the chaos. J.K. Dobbins, chaos. Gus Edwards, chaos. Right?
I feel bad for anyone that's a receiver on that team because they're just going to run the ball the whole time if that happens.
It's going to be run, or run, pass to Mark Andrews.
Right. Like your only chance of catching a pass is on like third and long.
Right. Yeah. So that Ravens offense, if that's the direction they go, because he hasn't signed, he just visited.
Right.
If that's the direction they go, that'll be a super interesting backfield to see, because I think that makes Gus Edwards a cut candidate.
Potentially, but I agree with that. Third and five or less, they're just going to run the ball.
Why not?
Yeah.
So I also think if Baltimore gets Gordon, if Gordon goes anywhere besides Denver, Denver's backup running back is like Mike Boone. So they're going to draft somebody too, which is
they'll have to. That's also a worry too, because you do get rid of Melvin Gordon, who's backing up Javonte.
Right. So I think that'll be pretty funny to have Javonte stay in a timeshare forever. I feel bad for the guy. He's obviously the shit.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I thought that was that's some of our. We're in that lull, that pre-draft lull, where not much is happening. And, like, I'm not going to sit here and go through a list of all the interviews that teams have had with players, because, like, I could pull up, oh, Kenneth Walker visited with Houston. Who cares? Who cares? Right. They get 30 visits. It doesn't mean anything.
So the draft is the last week of this month, correct?
Yeah, it's the 28th.
Right. So we've got, what, 3 weeks of speculation to go through here.
More or less, about two and a half.
And this episode, we're just going to continue with the speculation. We may go through another mock draft. But I did want to talk about some sleeper tight ends that I did outside of some of the guys that you talked about in your fantasy guide that we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. I wanted to take a step outside of some of those guys. You know, Tony did a really good job. He put up, I think, like 15 wide receivers, 15 running backs. But he only did like six or seven tight ends, and then like had like two or three that he was kind of looking at.
I watched, and I didn't rank them high enough to necessarily give them a full recap. Yeah.
So I wanted to take a step this week and look at some of those guys that probably aren't going to be on those narratives that you're reading or paying for from these fantasy pros sites. I mean, they may be there, but I feel like some of these guys actually may be better and have better draft class than some of these other guys that everyone's talking about. So. One of the guys Tony did talk about was Jelani Woods. He's obviously going to be an awesome tight end. Tony was saying he saw a mock draft earlier where he went. Where did he go? What round?
I'm in the mock draft. The mock draft had Woods as the second tight end off the board. So wow. Woods went 3.1. First or third round.
This guy's gonna be a beast. He's 6'7", 253. He's got a 6'10" wingspan, and he runs a 4.6 140.
Yeah, preposterous.
Yeah. So that guy's on our list, but I just wanted to get that out there that he's gonna be he's going to transition well to the NFL.
I'm going to talk a little bit about what I saw, because he's the one out of this group, the one that I actually put some time in on. He's obviously a height, size, length guy. I'm sure you saw him when he run. Like, that dude strides. He could take three strides and go 12 yards. Right. He's not the greatest blocker, but he wants to block motherfuckers. Like, he wants to hit dudes.
Right. And one of the things I look for in tight ends is that mismatch in the red zone.
Sure.
Leads to the corner. 6'7", 253. He barely has to jump. He's just got to reach in the air to catch that fade.
Right. So my short review of him was, remember that episode of The Simpsons where you meet Rodney Dangerfield, who's Mr. Burns' son?
Yeah.
And they go to a fancy party, and an older lady says to Rodney Dangerfield, "Larry, you have to meet our daughter, the debutante. She just came out last spring." And Larry looks at her and goes, "Whoa, put her back in. She's not done yet. Hey, no respect, no respect." Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, this dude is raw. Like, he doesn't play like a polished NFL tight end, but he has all the tools. So it might take him a couple years, but he has everything there. It just needs to get coached.
All right, so another guy I wanted to talk about, because Jelani Woods was on Tony's list. This is a guy that's not on Tony's list.
Uh-oh, uncharted waters.
We're talking Grant Calcaterra. All right. He played his last 2 years of college at SMU. All right.
Okay.
His tape is awesome. This guy's 6'5", 247. And like I was saying earlier, he creates an awesome mismatch in the red zone. This guy does have some problems with concussions. He does have tape from when he was on Oklahoma. He played 2 years with Oklahoma, and in 2019, officially actually retired from football because of concussion issues. But in 2021, he must have talked to his doctors and got some medical advice and said, you know what, you still can potentially do this. And he played his last 2 years with SMU and now is entering the draft.
What a story.
I mean, he could potentially be very good. I mean, outside of the concussion issues, I mean, granted, that could happen to anyone at any time, but he's already shown that he has the issues. I watched a bunch of tape, and he looks really good. I mean, he's got good hands. Awesome for the end zone.
Okay. Do you see him as a every down tight end? Is he just like a second tight end red zone guy?
Well, and that's what they're saying too, is that because of his concussion issues, he's not going to be that great at blocking. So he might not be an every down tight end, but that could also change. It's not saying that he's a bad blocker. They're just saying that he might be limited to the plays that he might have because of those concussion issues. Okay. So we'll see.
Okay.
He's a dart throw. You know?
Sure. Maybe a seventh round, sixth round pick, or an undrafted free agent.
I honestly don't think he'll go undrafted, but I honestly don't think I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Sure.
I would be surprised if he didn't get picked up by anyone.
Okay.
But yeah. So let's move on to another guy I was looking at. Daniel Bellinger. Okay. Tight end from San Diego State.
Ooh.
This guy is 6'6", 252. And again, I'm always looking for that mismatch in the red zone. He only ran 0.02 seconds worse than Jelani Woods on his 40. He ran a 4.63 40.
Okay.
He's got great hands, but then again, he's playing for San Diego State, who is not that great of a college football program. he just looked really, really good. His hands were awesome. And they did say that he does block pretty good. So that could transition just to get in him a starting role somewhere, just to be a blocker.
And blocking maybe, gets you on the field, man.
Right, right. Let's see. One more guy that I looked at. He in college for Oregon State, he played basketball and he played football.
Love a tight end that plays basketball.
Right, and that, a lot of times that translates. You know, Jimmy Graham,
Antonio Gates.
This guy is 6'6", 258 pounds. Keegan Quitoriano.
That's an all-star name right there.
Right. Teagan Quitoriano. They actually say that he's has really good effort when he's blocking. He's not the best blocker, but he's not shit. Okay. And he's got that basketball athletic ability to I didn't see any stats on like what his jump height was, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. But, yeah.
I don't even think they posted anything like that. But
okay.
For someone that's 6'6", 258, and played basketball while playing football in college, this guy could transition really well. And for some reason, the last three guys I talked about, they're not getting a lot of attention. I don't know. I could just be an idiot. But you know what? I do my research on tight ends, and I make some good picks.
Dude, it's fantasy football. We're all idiots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, right.
There's no, you can be good at fantasy football, but the good, being good in fantasy football just means you put yourself in a position to be successful. That's it.
Correct.
You can't control athletes. You can, right? You know?
Right.
So these are some interesting names. These are some guys like, you know what I love about doing all this draft research stuff and being in dynasty leagues is like, it makes me a lot more interested in rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the NFL draft.
Right. And I was thinking about that the other day and I was like, man, all the stuff we've done research for this year, man, if I would have done this last year, like I would have been so much more prepared.
Right. So I had a couple receivers, sleeper receivers that we wanted to talk about, but you have a tight end still to go, right?
No, I'm good on that. Let's talk about your receivers.
So we're talking about some late third round, early fourth round wide receivers. I'm in a mock draft right now with some of the Football Absurdity folks, and we're at the end of round 3, and all of these guys are still on the board. So I'll just do a brief write-up on a couple of these guys. Calvin Austin from Memphis. Calvin Austin is a burner, just a burner. Really? Problem is he's very small. He's 5'7". And he weighs 170.
Holy crap, another Muggsy Bogues, huh?
Right. Someone compared him to Tyreek Hill because they want the Chiefs to get him, but he's not Tyreek Hill. He's an electric athlete.
Yeah, he's going to have to get super open to make any catches, yeah.
He's a speedster. I compared him to Jakeem Grant, the punt returner / deep threat, played for the Bears last year. A few comps to him that I also saw were Tutu Atwell, Taylor Gabriel, Kiki Kuti, Isaiah McKenzie, so like that type of guy. So yeah,
those are good comparisons.
I would love him in especially like a dynasty with return yardage. Man. So the one that I think you're going to like, the one that I think is your guy, is Kyle Phillips from UCLA. So what I do when I do the research is I watch before I watch any of the games, I find as many scouting reports as I can and I take some notes on each. What do they say? What do they say is good? What do they say is bad? What's his history like? And And then I get all the player comparisons I can find. And I just have a list of all the names.
Okay.
And Kyle Phillips was compared to Hunter Renfrow by 6 different websites.
He must be a little guy. Same thing, then.
He's 5'11". He's 186. He is a crisp route runner. He's a slot guy. There's no way he's playing on the outside. He's too small.
He's got a very deep understanding of the playbook.
93% of his snaps last year were in the slot.
Really? So
that's his thing. He's like, if you couldn't afford Sky Moore, Kyle Phillips might be your guy.
Interesting.
He had, let me see. Okay. So he had a Dominator share of almost 30%. So Dominator score is basically what percentage of your team's passing output goes through you specifically. And he has an elite Dominator score, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, a large portion of that offense went through him.
Okay.
So he's someone that might be worth one of those late round flyers, or someone that if he falls is someone that I'd be interested in taking a look at.
I like it.
One more I want to do is Khalil Shakur. He played for Boise State, which of course gave me headaches watching Blue Field.
You did watch a lot of Boise State.
I watched, watching any Boise State is watching too much Boise State, you know? He actually got some player comps to some former Chicago Bears. He got a player comp to Earl Bennett. Remember Earl Bennett?
Yeah, yeah.
I loved Earl Bennett. Earl Bennett was great.
Yeah.
He's 5'11", 196. He's another not a giant guy. Some places are really high on him. I mean, like, someone compared him to Nate Burleson. Someone compared him to Jarvis Landry. Here's the thing. I compared him to Anthony Miller, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
This dude makes reaching behind the back, one-handed, crazy, insane catches, and then drops open passes.
Yeah.
He's one of those.
He's got the hands, but he's right. Inconsistent.
He's a space guy. He's great in space. He's got the nose for the end zone, which we talked about last week. He's one of those guys that you'll do reverses, jet sweeps, that kind of stuff. He's got it, but he's inconsistent. And how many teams are going to put up with that? He might be around 4 or 5 guy in the draft. He might even be if the Bears don't take a guy in round 2. Like, if you just let it fall, Khalil Shakur is a guy that'll be around. Where he goes and how they choose to use him will be a big thing. I'm just really happy I don't have to watch him on a blue field anymore, because that shit gives me a headache. So these are, gave you about six of those later round guys that I think around the end of round 3 you could be looking at. And like I said, I am right now literally at almost at the end of round 3 where you would be picking. And yeah, there's actually quite a few guys on the board that I think you would like. Shakur is still on there. Pierre Strong from South Dakota State is still on there.
Yep.
Calvin Austin, who we just talked about. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of people that we've talked about over the last few weeks. In fact, I see your boy Grant Calcaterra is still on here.
Really?
Yeah. So we already have, I'm in round 3 of this mock draft, and it's not even the end of round 3, and 4 tight ends have been drafted.
Wow.
Trey McBride at 211, uh-huh. Jelani Woods at 3-1, and since we started recording, Isaiah Likely got picked at 3.3.
Yeah.
And then, actually, at 3.7, Greg Dulcich is off the board.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Dulcich. I liked his videos that I watched. Really good.
We were talking last week. He's a guy that's not super fast, always catching 70-yard touchdowns. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, was that the guy that you said like did a horrible 40-yard?
No, that's Weidermeyer from Texas A&M.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I'm looking at my mock draft right now, and Weidermeyer's still on the board. Like, I wouldn't be against Weidermeyer because Mechie's not going to fall to me. So it'd probably be between Pierre Strong or Jalen Weidermeyer. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about bits. We used to have bits. We used to do bits around here. And yeah, one of our bits that we're going to bring back is the popcorn quad. So what we usually do is it's 7 questions and we try to answer it as quickly as possible. Because as you know, a popcorn nug is a small little guy.
Right. One hit.
So I'm going to ask you 4 questions and then you're going to ask me 3. And then we'll be done with our popcorn quad. Do you want to go first or do you want the ball or do you want to play defense? Well,
you have more questions than I do, so why don't you go first?
All right. Would you rather in Dynasty right now, would you rather have CeeDee Lamb or T. Higgins?
I've given some thought to this, and I'd rather have CeeDee Lamb. The most obvious answer is because Amari Cooper's gone. But I'm not going to go against
Jamar Chase, baby.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. I'm not going to go against Jamar Chase, and I'd rather go with the one who's going to get most of the targets, and I think that's going to be CeeDee Lamb.
Okay. Yeah, I think I get where you're coming from. The reason why I brought this up, it's been a debate over the last couple days on the Football Absurdity Discord about, like, is, even though T. Higgins isn't his team's number one wide receiver necessarily, he is still a wide receiver one. And I know this is crazy, but if I have CeeDee Lamb, which I do in a couple days, and someone says, I'll give you T. Higgins for CeeDee Lamb, I'm smashing accept. I'm going accept all the way.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. All right. Next question. Question 2. Would you rather have Terry McLaurin or whichever wide receiver is drafted first in the upcoming NFL draft?
This is a tough one.
Hell yeah, bro. No softballs here.
I'm going to go McLaurin just because of the uncertainty.
Okay.
Of any of these rookie wideouts, they could show up and just be nothing. I don't think any of these rookie wideouts have like the clout of like Jamar Chase, where they're just like everyone's just expecting them to just be dominant, you know, right off the bat. So yeah, I think I'm gonna go McLaurin.
Okay, they're. Yeah, on Keep Trade Cut, which, you know, is a ranking thing for Dynasty players where you see, like, where the community ranks them, I think the first wide receivers are a little bit more – have a little bit of a higher value than Terry because he's played a few years and he's a little bit older. But they – man, if Washington or wherever he goes, if he gets a fucking quarterback, Terry McLaurin is a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
So – in one of the dynasty leagues that I'm in, I tried to tear down my team for picks. And the only two guys that I wanted to get rid of were Terry McLaurin and Calvin Ridley. So
wow.
now they're just hanging out. All right. Next question.
Do you want to do one of mine?
Yeah, hell yeah. Bring it on.
All right. So one of the ones I came up with was Jamar Chase or 3 first round picks.
So the obvious answer is 3 firsts, but I don't know. Like I'm going to take the 3 firsts, but I'm going to feel bad about it.
You will when Ja'Marr Chase puts up like 1,500 yards and like 10 touchdowns.
Right. And I think it's like you said, you're weighing out the known quantity versus the unknown commodity, right?
Right.
And
you could make that horrible choice and take the first 3 round picks, and then you have who was the Jacksonville guy that got hurt in practice last year and was out the entire year.
And three firsts doesn't, if someone is giving me 3 first-round picks for Ja'Marr Chase, it's because their team is one superstar away from winning a title.
Right.
So when you and I traded during the year in our dynasty, you gave me multiple years of firsts, but you got back Trey Lance and Elijah Moore.
Yeah. Like, and I think that was an awesome trade, especially because of what Elijah Moore did towards the latter half of the year before getting injured. But
right. So, and Trey Lance, like, you got another potential. That dude could be your starting quarterback for 10 years. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to take the 3 firsts, but I have to hold my nose to do it.
Yeah.
Would you take the 3 firsts or would you take Chase?
I'd take Chase.
You're crazy, but I love it.
All right. You know me. I'm bold.
I know. You live Moss, dude. You live Moss. So I'll do one more. I'll do my last one, and then you'll do 2, and we'll call it. So it's option time for a lot of our – or it's not option time. It's re-sign time, because a lot of the second-round wide receivers popped off over the last couple of years are eligible for their contract extensions. So I'm going to give you a list of 5 guys. DK Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson. Will any of those players play for a new team before they get their contract restructured?
Right off the bat, I'm thinking Deontay Johnson stays with the Steelers. I'm thinking McLaurin stays. I'm thinking A.J. Brown stays. And I'm thinking Deebo stays. I really like the narrative. We might have talked about it last week. I like the Seahawks just gutting their team and trading DK Metcalf. He's back.
We did it.
At least on my end.
Yeah, he's here. So
we left off on Tyreek or Devontae. We were agreeing on Devontae.
We love college quarterback receiver duos reconnecting in the NFL. Oh, I think what I was trying to say is, you know, last year Adams was Rodgers' only target.
Right.
And I think having a Renfrow, having a Waller is good for Adams, because I think they can't shade safeties to the extent that they had to against Green Bay, because there's other weapons that Carr has.
You're not going to be able to double him at all.
You know who's going to fucking crush this year? Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, probably. And I liked him last year, so.
All right, so you got one more for me.
All right. The tight end. This is a tight end one.
All right, here we go.
All right, so Freiermuth or McBride and a 2022 second round pick.
I'm going to tell you why I'm going McBride in the pick. Because
you don't have confidence in Pittsburgh's quarterbacks, do you?
I don't. Freiermuth, I think, is is Roethlisberger dependent. And you were talking about your prospect earlier with concussion history. Freiermuth had 2 last year, man.
Did he really?
Yeah. Like, you're high on Freiermuth. I think that, like, when the year starts, if he starts out decent, I'm moving him. if he's on my team.
Really?
That's like, I worry about that kind of stuff. I think Freiermuth and Trey McBride are about the same right now.
I think if I were to go with the McBride in the 2022 second, I'd probably take two tight ends, honestly, just because of what you're saying. If you're not that confident in Freiermuth, might as well get two backups and see which one spits, you know?
I like that. Well, so much of the way that you, Ryan Edgecombe, the way that you play fantasy football is you want to, you're not a Travis Kelce drafter. I'm going to wait and I'm going to try to find value where I can. And you're the same way in DFS. Like, you'll spend as much time being like, okay, yeah, we can do a Mahomes Kelce stack, but I'd also want to look at what's Ryan Griffin like this week.
Right. I'm going to look at that tight end that he's only going to catch two or three touchdowns a year, but is this going to be the week that he catches that touchdown?
Right.
And I only pay $4,700 and I get 15 points out of it.
Right. Yeah. And you use that. And so in Dynasty, it's interesting to me to watch your tight end strategy because you're a tight end hoarder, but Dynasty, those bench spots get thin real quick. So,
but any one of those tight ends could potentially become one of those 5 to 10 touchdown tight ends potentially, sure, in their career. You just don't know what season.
I want McBride because McBride is going to be a starter, and I want that dart throw at whatever position in the second.
Yeah.
So that's the popcorn quad. I don't want to spend too much time looking at someone else's Fantasy Pros mock draft today. Not because it's not a good mock draft, because we saw it and there's like five quarterbacks in the first round, which is ridiculous.
It's just redundant too. I mean, all the guys, you know, your top 36 guys are going in that mock draft. It all just matters. And like this one we looked at this week has what, 8 quarterbacks in the first round?
Which I think has 5.
Five,
yeah, because I think it's a super flex, but also like specifically a 2 quarterback, like,
oh,
and so since you have to start 2, it's more extreme, but like, man, those are not good options. I'm not taking Carson Strong in the first round of a dynasty draft in any circumstance.
No. Unless I have one quarterback.
Yeah, and even then, all the other quarterbacks would have to go. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The mock draft we looked at, like, Sky Moore was there at 212 or some shit like that because there were 7 quarterbacks or 6 quarterbacks that went in the first round.
Right.
So we'll call that today. Our next episode, we might have gone mobile for the next episode.
Yeah, I'll be in Nebraska next week for about a week, doing some fishing, going to some baseball games, going to a production of King Lear that one of our very good friends from college is in a production of, and I'll get a chance to see him live. And something I don't think I've seen him in a production since we were in school, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
He's a very good actor. Loves his craft, and so it'll be really cool to see.
Yeah, those of you that don't know, we went to a Northern Illinois University, which has like a renowned theater program, like big time theater program.
Right. For some reason, Northern Illinois has a very good arts program, music, art, and theater. And the friend we're talking about is a product of this theater program, and it's going to be really good.
Yeah. So you're going to be on mobile. So we're going to do it long distance style. You're going to be in the land of Omaha Steaks. And yeah, like I said,
I'll tell you what, just like just like Patton Oswalt said, I'm going to get a fucking steak. Omaha.
And like, you know, those of you that might not know that are just listening, like Ryan and I are both musicians, been in bands, whatever. And when we were in Denver on our last tour and we went to breakfast, my bandmate just ordered an omelet. And she's like, what kind? He's like, we're in Denver. Why would I need to say Denver omelet? Like, can I get a here omelet, please? So maybe you'll have to go to a steak place and be like, yeah, can I get a here steak, please?
I'll probably also get like 35 potato bacon bombs and maybe a deep fried pumpkin with some caramel apples inside.
That's a thing? You can buy those like in real life?
Yeah, we'll see.
Holy shit. Yeah,
dude, it's where Warren Buffett lives. It's the land of opportunity.
Yeah, when I think opportunity, I think Omaha, Nebraska.
That's right.
All right. Well, so until next time, listen to some Bright Eyes or whatever, because you know you'll be in Omaha.
Yeah, that's great. Enjoy the steaks.
We'll see you in a week. And Craig, I think your work here is done, man.
Yeah, good episode, Tony. Good job, everyone.
All right, everyone. Talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night.